Worried about mom or dad falling? The Symphony Medical Alert System from CVS Health helps make their home safer, even if you can't be there. Symphony works with voice activation or a care button they can opt to wear, along with smart sensors for coverage around the home. With 24/7 emergency response and an app to tie it all together, you can monitor your loved one's well-being for enhanced peace of mind. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more about Symphony at cvs.com/symphony or find it at your nearest CVS Health Hub.
Is a paid program on 630 WLAP. This is the Tom Dupree Show on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome to the camp. I guess you all know why we're here. My name is Tommy, and I became aware this year. If you want to follow me, got to play pinball. And put in your earplugs, put on your eye shades, you know where to put the caulk.
Welcome to the Tom Dupree Show. This week, joining us for the first hour, we have our Congressman Andy Barr, who's got, surprise, surprise, more updates from Washington. So, Tom, I'm going to throw it over to you, and you can get this show on the road.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that music is respectful of the fact that we have a congressman on here?
I was maybe thinking of the people, their motives, the ones, the Democrats, maybe. What do you think?
I don't know. I think we should have been playing something a little more respectful. After all, it is a member of Congress.
Oh, but, stop it.
All right. Let me go with Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. Andy Barr, Garland Hale Barr, 6th District Congressman, so happy to have you on the show. It seems like we're having you on a lot, but there's a lot going on, and we're getting good updates by talking to you. Updates you don't get from watching the news. And so thank you for your time. Thanks for doing the show. The listeners, thank you, because it's helpful. So
Tom and Elizabeth, it's great to be on with you all again, and no apologies necessary. David Bowie is a great artist, and we like that music.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, was that David Bowie?
Yeah.
I thought that was. Yeah, that's right. That's
way
right.
To get it, Andy.
Yeah. Okay.
Anything from the 70s or 80s works for me.
All right. We
got you covered.
I just wanted to be, respectful. Anyway, so let's start off here. We only got so much time. I guess it was the Secretary of the State went to meet his Chinese counterparts in Alaska, and it didn't go so well. You want to talk about
no.
that?
No, it didn't, and I'm a new member of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, a member of the House China Task Force, and I was able to have my first meeting and interaction with our new Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, the week before this meeting yesterday, I have not yet met our national security advisor, the new national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, who was also on that trip. But I warned Secretary Blinken, having studied this issue quite closely and the rise of China over the last several years, not to focus on the CCP leadership's promises, but to focus on their actions. I do applaud the Secretary of State for raising some very important issues and criticizing the CCP for their malign behavior with respect to their human rights record, with the concentration camps with the Uyghurs in the Xinjiang province, and also their disregard of an international agreement with Hong Kong, the belligerence that they have shown in the South and East China Seas and on the border with India, their territorial aggression there, and their theft of intellectual property, the forced transfer of technology, their blatant violation of the international norms of trade. To his credit, Secretary of State did bring up those issues. The problem is that he doesn't come to the table, the negotiating table, with a whole lot of credibility when he's reversing some of the very strong positions taken by the Trump administration. And one of the earliest decisions of this new president, President Biden, was to, without any conditions, without any reforms, rejoin the World Health Organization, which was literally a co-conspirator in the origins and the cover-up of this global COVID pandemic. They collaborated. They were corrupted by the Chinese Communist Party, and they enabled this plague, this China virus, to spread. And so for the new president to rejoin this corrupt international organization dominated by the communists from Beijing with no conditions, with no reforms, sends a very bad signal to the Chinese Communist Party that this president is going to negotiate from a position of weakness, that this president is not serious about holding the Chinese accountable for the origins of COVID. And then, of course, when Biden rejoins, you know, has the United States rejoin the so-called United Nations Human Rights Council, a human rights council dominated by dictators and communists, such as the leadership in Cuba, in Russia, and in China. This new administration is getting off on the wrong foot with the international community, and certainly not sending the signals of toughness that we need to be sending to our adversaries like the Chinese Communist Party.
Let me ask you a question, and I don't know this to be the case or not, but just things I've read, that the Chinese Communist Party is kind of having a hard time holding things together within their own country, that there are fractures beginning to emerge, and that they're just having great difficulty keeping the people in line. Even though it may not appear to be that way, there's the potential that there could be some backlash getting ready to happen within China. What do you know about that? Is it credible, or is this just hearsay?
Well, I do have access to classified briefings related to China that obviously I cannot discuss.
Come on, Andy. It's just between you and me. Nobody's listening.
Well, there is some open source reporting, obviously, that there's dissension, obviously, within China. And the CCP has criticized the United States for the quote-unquote hypocrisy of meddling in their internal affairs, criticizing their repression and oppression and concentration camps of the Muslim minority Uyghur population, the Tibetans, the Hong Kongers. We know that the totalitarian communist government in Beijing is a police state. They surveil their own people. They assign social credit scores that allow them to punish any Christian or religious person or dissident who dares defy the orthodoxy of the Chinese Communist Party. Anyone who is not seen as compliance or obedience with the regime is punished with a lower social credit score through facial recognition, through their ability to rent an apartment, go to a certain restaurant, travel. Individuals, there is no freedom in places like Hong Kong anymore, and certainly not in mainland China. But again, I have to say, I'm disappointed with the new president. There is some tough talk, and I'm hopeful that that the new administration is waking up to the reality that the rest of the American people saw with the unleashing of this global pandemic and their cover-up and their disinformation campaign. But when President Biden excuses their blatant human rights violations in a CNN town hall when he said, well, these are just cultural differences. You know, Tom and Elizabeth, I don't know if you've seen and again, this is not classified. Have you seen the photographs and the video footage of the Uyghur population being rounded up and put on trains? It's very reminiscent of the Holocaust. It's gruesome. This is, make no mistake, this is a morally bankrupt totalitarian government that is engaged in expansionist aggression. And their buildup of their military, of their blue water navy, their ambitions in space and cyberspace, their theft of our medical research. They use this 1,000 talent program to send some of their academics over to students over to U.S. United States colleges and universities, and they put them in these organizations called Confucius Institutes. And the University of Kentucky even hosted a Confucius Institute until they recently shut it down because of pressure from Washington, D.C., and policymakers like me who are raising the alarm on this. But we know from these Confucius Institutes and the 1,000 Talents program that there is, and from the FBI, that there is significant academic espionage. So, I mean, all of these actions are hostile, they're aggressive, and we need an administration to work with the Congress in a bipartisan way to counter this aggression and to be less ambiguous about our resolve than the Biden administration has shown in these first few months of their administration.
So if you believe that the Biden family has taken significant financial gain from China in a variety of ways, many of which involved Hunter Biden, how could you imagine that any tough stance that the president would display towards China would be anything but posturing?
Our days now look so different. That no one can deny. We choose more cozy movie nights, and puzzles help time fly by. So send a little present, something special, just because. Choose photo books or playing cards to have them all abuzz. Let the good fly at Shutterfly.com.
And that it would not have teeth in it due to the fact that he himself has been enriched with his and his family's relationship with China.
It's a legitimate question, Tom, and I believe that President Biden may be compromised with respect to China, both from a long public career of embracing the rise of China and him being on the record of embracing the rise of China, and, of course, his own personal family ties that deserve scrutiny and investigation. One of the problems with Republicans not serving in the majority is that we don't have sufficient or meaningful oversight over this administration. And so the allegations against Hunter Biden and his ties to the Chinese Communist Party have not been investigated, certainly have not been investigated to the extent that they need to be to determine whether or not President Biden himself has financial interest in China and whether or not and Chinese entities, Chinese controlled entities, state-owned entities, where his son has done business. And so there does need to be oversight. It shouldn't be just Republicans. There should be bipartisan outrage that our president may very well be compromised. We need a searching investigation to discern those ties to a major adversary of the United States. But beyond that, as I said, you know, politicians of both parties, including Joe Biden, for years made the critical mistake time and time again of believing that engagement with China would somehow change the leadership in China, that it would, that if we just cooperated with Beijing and gave them concessions, if we just engaged them in trade and gave them access to our capital markets, and if we transferred our technology, if we did all of these things, that was going to induce Beijing to open up their economy to free trade, to free markets. It was supposed to lead to a convergence of Chinese and Western interests. But over and over again, the Chinese Communist Party proved that Joe Biden's instincts were totally wrong. They failed to meet our expectations. And in fact, those policies aided in the rise of China, both economically and militarily. And the CCP became more and more emboldened. And this is where it has led. We now see a wholesale string of human rights violations. We see economic malfeasance. Through the Belt and Road Initiative, we see malign foreign investment where their companies are coming in and they're buying up our startups and they're transferring and stealing our technology. They're using cyber attacks to steal our intellectual property. Their expansionist aggression is now right there in front of all of us and the international community. I had dinner earlier this week in the Indian embassy. I met with Ambassador Sandhu, the Indian ambassador to the United States, where he was describing to us the violent conflict between the People's Liberation Army and the Indian Army in the Himalayas earlier this summer, where there were multiple fatalities. And the reason
it was hand to hand combat. Sounds like they were throwing each other off cliffs and stuff like that.
Right.
It was crazy.
Exactly. And, you know, the United States, and we were discussing this the other night, it needs to be the policy of the United States to provide military support to the Indians so that they can protect the territorial integrity of the Indian territory in that part of the world, in the Himalayas, very, very difficult terrain, obviously, there. But look, I mean, it's not just there. It's in the South China Sea. They're building up their blue water Navy. And over and over again, I mean, we just missed it. We just dismissed their behavior. And Senator Biden, when he was in the Senate, he dismissed their malign behavior, whether it was the crackdown and slaughter of the protesters in Tiananmen Square, China's admission into the World Trade Organization, its military buildup, its blatant violation of the international treaty in Hong Kong. It's time that we open up our eyes. And now that we see China unleashing this global pandemic against us and then spreading the disinformation about it, that there was no human-to-human transmission, corrupting the World Trade Organization, the World Health Organization, to be a co-conspirator in their cover-up, and then weaponizing the supply chain against us, there should be no doubt that the People's Republic of China, not the people of China, but the government in Beijing, is an enemy of the United States, an enemy of the West, and we need to stand up to them.
Well, okay. But here's the thing. We gotta figure out, and it kind of takes me into this thing, and I don't know, it's kind of a correction here, but we're going to have to talk at some point. If the Republicans want people to start giving them money again, we got to talk about election integrity, because it appears that in the last election, the deck is totally stacked against us. We are not in control of the voting machines. They're in control of people that know how to manipulate them. So if we are going to stand up against, we, the Biden administration, is never going to happen. It has to be a new administration, and we got to win some elections, and we got to figure out how to make them fair, because the average person doesn't believe they're fair now.
Well, I understand that, and that's why on the last program we talked about the Save Democracy Act, legislation that I've co-sponsored that would restore election integrity. look, I've had some very difficult conversations with my Democrat colleagues who complained about what we saw on January 6th. And I said, look, you know, obviously no one condones political violence like we saw at the riot at the U.S. Capitol building, but there are millions, literally millions of peaceful Americans who wouldn't engage in that kind of conduct, but who are equally frustrated with the outcome of the election. And they're frustrated because they don't believe in the election. They don't believe that it was conducted fairly. And that's a very dangerous thing when you have 66 or 67%, two-thirds of an entire political party, in this case the Republican Party, not believing that Joe Biden is the legitimate president of the United States. They think it was stolen. And it's not just because Donald Trump said so. And that's what my Democrat friends need to remember and recognize. It's not just because of some speech that Donald Trump delivered. It's because local officials unilaterally changed the election laws right before the election. It's because there were thousands, if not tens of thousands, of unrequested ballots sent out to people who didn't live in those addresses. It's because there's video evidence of election officials kicking out election observers and then counting ballots when those observers were no longer present. You cannot dismiss the irregularities in the 2020 election. And I think that there should be a commission to examine it. But beyond a commission to get to the bottom of all these irregularities in the 2020 election, to restore some level of confidence in the election system, we also need to reform our election laws so that the American people can trust what's going on. And that's why I support the Save Democracy Act, which would, you know, prohibit things like ballot harvesting, which would require voter ID nationwide in federal elections and citizenship verification, and making sure that local election officials can't keep counting ballots when they come in with no postmark, you know, weeks after the election has ended.
All right, you know, Andy.
These are things that need to stop.
We got to jump off real quick and take a break. You're listening to the Tom Dupree Show with Congressman Andy Barr. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
$1,400 per person
is not enough.
Enough is never enough. So let's double it.
We're going to double
your stimulus. Up to six chances a day to win $1,400.
We doubled
on News Radio 630 WLAP.
If you're wondering what's going on in the markets these days, you're not alone. It seems the conventional metrics of discerning value in markets has been thrown out the window. Perhaps it may help to look at interest rates, which are lower than ever. They are lower than in my dad's time in the business and in my granddad's time. Interest rates can justify valuations in the stock market, and lower interest rates can support higher valuations. So maybe things aren't that crazy. We talk about stuff like this at Dupree Financial Group. For a no-obligation review of your retirement investment portfolio, call us at 859-233-0400 or go to DupreeFinancial.com. And be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays from 7 to 9 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com. That's Dupree Financial Group at 233-0400.
What can give you a competitive edge in today's red-hot housing market? Rocket can. That's because Rocket Mortgage can give you a verified approval. It could help your offer stand out. Because when you find the perfect home, you don't want to lose it to anybody else. Rocket Technology provides a rock-solid verification of your income, assets, and credit, giving sellers and their agents greater confidence in you. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this, what can help you buy the home you really want? Rocket can. Go to rocketmortgage.com or call us today at 8338-ROCKET. That's rocketmortgage.com or call 8338-ROCKET.
A verified approval is based on an underwriter's analysis of your individual financial information appraisal and title report. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
Battery power made by steel. From trimmers and mowers to chainsaws and blowers, steel battery tools are exactly what you need to tackle your to-do list. Whether you need to maintain your yard or completely transform your landscape. Shop online for the Steel AK Homeowner Series starting at just $199.99. Pick up at over 10,000 local steel dealers. Real steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com.
Beautiful blue skies for the most part across the area on this Saturday. Temperature making a run at 60 degrees. Enjoy it. From the WKYT First Alert Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Chris Bailey.
Broadcasting live 24-7 from the heart of Big Blue Nation, this is News Radio 630 WLAP, an iHeartRadio station.
Hey, how many credit cards are in your wallet? The only card you need is the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card, which offers rates as low as 7.24% APR. When unexpected expenses arise, you need a credit card with options, like the UK Federal Credit Union Visa Platinum Card with no annual fee and no balance transfer fee. Annual percentage rates apply, member qualifications apply, but the rate is variable and it applies to Visa or Platinum Card, subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosures, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.
GEICO knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the exciting adventure of the daily commute to the peace of mind that GEICO always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service and legendary customer service. But Pamela Mund had one reason in particular.
My skin is extremely averse to most fabrics, except for the soft, buttery feeling of leather. Thankfully, I found my clan of leather lovers in the biking community. It's been life-changing.
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
The journey on the path to spiritual enlightenment is personal. And as you'll hear on the Astray podcast, it can also be deadly. Join filmmaker Caroline Slaughter on the podcast as she uncovers the disappearances and deaths that have befallen Westerners who have taken a spiritual pilgrimage to India.
Don't go to India, because this is a Venus flytrap for your vulnerability.
Listen to Astray on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Financial advisors, remember when your job was fun? I'm Ron Kruszewski, CEO of Stifel, and at our firm, it still is fun. Here, you'll find the culture and values of the past, along with the technology and vision of the future. Stifel is a firm built by advisors for advisors, a place where you can better serve your clients and have some fun again in our business. Visit choosestifel.com to learn more about the investment firm you've been waiting for.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Since we were children, we've been told to reach for the stars. It was great advice, now it's a great gift. Name a star after someone. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, we will name a star after someone very special to you and send an incredible personalized gift. The new star name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com for the hottest gift.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. What actually makes a difference in life? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? Perhaps it's bonds, racehorses? No. Of any economic entity in which you can invest, the ones which actually make a difference are corporations. They are maligned, taxed, demonized, run by left-wing ideologues, but still, they must produce a profit. They cannot afford to invest in things the way that government does. Their investments must show a profit. Their investments must be productive. We believe our clients like to think their investments are being productive, both for society and for them. For a free review of your retirement investment portfolio, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
630 WLAP.
We'll be right back.
Back on the Tom Dupree Show with Congressman Andy Barr joining Tom this week. We've got another loaded segment, so let's get on with it, Tom.
Okay. There's a major crisis at the southern border, and the administration refuses to acknowledge it. Jen Psaki said the other day that it was a crisis, and then she quickly walked back her remarks to indicate, well, there's really not a crisis. Homeland Security people have used very measured words. They've called it a challenge rather than a crisis. Children are being put in what are effectively jails. This is the same kind of thing that Democrats hammered the Trump administration over, and it's happening even worse under the Biden administration, because the fact is, at this point, we really have no press. There's nobody digging in. The Biden administration will not allow reporters to visit where these people are being held, from what I understand. And perhaps you can, you know, corroborate or disprove anything I just said. So I'm interested in your thoughts on it.
Well, you're right. I mean, the hypocrisy of the press is so unbelievable on this. The facilities that are being used to detain these migrant children, the exact same facilities that the press beat up President Trump for using as cages. Of course, that's just nonsense. But this is a crisis of the Biden administration's own making. And if you don't believe Jen, if you don't believe me, certainly Jen Psaki is denying that it's a crisis. But here's the reality. Jay Johnson, who was President Obama's Homeland Security Secretary, he said that if there are 1,000 illegal crossings a day, that's a crisis. Well, that's what we're saying. Just the facts on the ground from Customs and Border Protection, that there are four times that many illegal border crossings every single day at the southern border. And 13 of my Republican colleagues went down to the border to actually visit with CBP, visit with the migrants themselves, and to actually observe what was going on the ground. And they confirmed that the Biden administration's reversals of the Trump policies have been a total disaster. This Biden border crisis is a direct result of President Joe Biden's reckless open border policy. So what are those policies? Well, number one, he halted the construction of the border wall system. He re-implemented the failed catch and release policy for thousands of migrants. He reversed the Remain in Mexico policy. He's released thousands of migrants into the United States without testing them for COVID-19. He canceled the asylum cooperative agreements with Central American partners, and he implemented policies to selectively enforce the immigration laws. And when he did that, he basically said, come to the border. And while their rhetoric now is, now that they have this crisis, don't come now. When the Homeland Security Secretary says, don't come now, that is a signal that you can come. And some are coming right now. And it is a total disaster. And like I said before, just look at the numbers, okay? According to Customs and Border Protection, the number of migrants encountered at the border this February was over 100,000. That's more than three times the number from the previous February in 2020. And that's important. It wasn't just a surge because COVID is ending or is fading away. It's that those numbers are pre-COVID numbers compared to the current numbers. So this surge at the border is directly as a result of the Biden administration relaxing and ending the Trump era policies that were effectively stopping the crisis at the border. And we have confirmed, and my colleagues who went down to the border corroborated this, we've confirmed that there were indeed foreign nationals who attempted to cross the border illegally in the last month, who were on the terror screening database. That's the terror watch list. And there are four of these that we know of that we've confirmed. So not only are we making Americans vulnerable to COVID-19, but we're also making Americans vulnerable to gangs, to drug cartels, and to criminals and to terrorists, because this administration refuses to enforce the law.
Well, they would argue that the laws are unjust. And this is what Democrats have always done. They have selectively enforced laws and not enforced the ones that they didn't agree with. And you know, that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with an administration that's going to be relativistic in their approach to law enforcement.
Well, Tom, here's how out of touch the Biden people are, out of touch with where the American people are. Pete Buttigieg, who is the transportation secretary in the Biden administration, recently proposed a regulation to require every American to get a negative COVID test in order to jump on an airplane for commercial travel inside the United States. He wants to impose that on the American people. At the same time, they have not tested one single migrant that has been released into the United States under their catch and release program since the surge at the border began. Not one. They refuse to COVID test any of these illegal immigrants that they're releasing into the interior of the United States. Now, talk about hypocrisy of demanding that American citizens get tested, but they won't even test illegal immigrants who they are releasing into the United States of America. And I just think the American people will not tolerate this. We had an amendment. It was actually a legislation that we proposed to amend to an amnesty bill that the Democrats put on the House floor this week. Our new congresswoman from Iowa, Congresswoman Miller Meeks, offered an amendment that simply said that as a condition of releasing any of these illegal immigrants into the United States under their catch and release policy, that they first be confirmed as having a negative COVID test. One would think this would be a reasonable amendment under their flawed catch and release policy. Not a single Democrat voted for that. Not one. And so I just think the American people look at this as completely absurd and out of touch.
Okay. That amount of illegal immigration is going to hamper legal immigration of people from other parts of the world that can come to the U.S. and actually be, that are actually trained to do certain kinds of jobs. It seems like if they're going to allow this to happen, it would short circuit people who are trying to do immigration through the legal channels and frustrate them and then make them have less respect for the U.S. and what it takes to become a legal citizen.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And on the House floor this week, we had two amnesty bills. If you think about how out of touch and tone deaf House Democrats are, that they're voting this week on amnesty legislation while we have this crisis at the border, this humanitarian disaster with human trafficking and children being separated from their families and taken on this dangerous trek through Central America and Mexico to the southern border by coyotes who are not related to them and placed in overcrowded conditions where there's no COVID testing. I mean, it's just outrageous that then they would pass a bill that says we want more of them. Come to the United States, cut in line, and for all of you immigrants who have come to this country legally or who are waiting in line legally to come into this country and do it the right way and do it the legal way and do it the way that we in America have accepted for years has been a blessing for our country, legal and safe immigration, we're basically saying to those people, you're a sucker. You're a sucker for actually wanting to follow the law. I think it's a terrible signal. It undermines legal immigration exactly the way that you described.
Okay. There was something else you wanted to discuss, and let's jump into it. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Well, I introduced a bill this week in the Congress called the Fair Access to Banking Act.
That's it.
What we're seeing, and this is a companion bill to what Senator Cramer introduced in the U.S. Senate last week, and I've been working with Senator Cramer on this issue. What we've seen over the last several years is a number of banks being pressured by government regulators, but mainly by pressure groups, activists, environmental activists, other liberal politicians like Elizabeth Warren to debank certain legal businesses. We've seen cancel culture in social media. This is cancel culture in finance, where banks and other lenders are shamed into denying credit to legally operating businesses that happen to be politically incorrect eyes of the woke left. So whether it is a fossil energy business, a pipeline company, an energy services business, a money services business, maybe a payday lender or a firearm dealer, firearm manufacturer, ammunition dealer, any business that is law-abiding and operating properly under the laws of their state and the country, but are not in the good graces and not in conformity with the political views of the elites on the far left, well, we're going to now bully the banks to get out of that line of lending. And this, I think, this cancel culture in finance is something that is very, very disturbing. It's dangerous. It's not the way a free country should be operating. And let's face it, Green New Deal is so unpopular, it's so extreme, it's so socialist that the Biden administration knows, even with majorities in both the House and the Senate, they cannot pass it. The American people will not accept it. And so what they're doing is they're attempting to implement the Green New Deal through the back door of financial regulation. And they're trying to bully and intimidate and harass banks to cut off and choke off financing to any business that has too large of a carbon footprint, whether that's an energy business or a manufacturing firm. And this needs to stop. Lending decisions, Tom, should be based on sound underwriting, based on quantifiable risk-based criteria, the creditworthiness of the borrower. It should not be based on subjective political factors. And that's what this bill is all about. We codify a Trump-era regulation from the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency that basically says if you're a large national or regional bank, you have to provide fair access to all customers, and you can't engage in a strategy of total avoidance of an entire category of customers just because they are politically incorrect with certain politicians. I think this is a very, very important signal to send to banks in this country that you can't pick and choose who you want to do business with,
you know,
based on politics.
All this will do, Andy, is cause disintermediation. In other words, people will simply there will be other credit markets that will take up the slack, and the banks have always been sheep, if you will, and this isn't the first time. So I mean, I think it's great that you're doing that, but banks have always responded to political pressure. They've always had fashionable things to lend to, and then things that were out of fashion. And look at equine lending. I mean, they would loan on any racehorse at one point. Now it's very tough to do. But over time, I mean, I think it's great that you're doing that, but I think the market will ultimately sift itself out.
That may be true, and we certainly would hope that would be the case, and that's the way a free market should work. But there's distortions in this market because of political correctness, political pressure, cancel culture, And the Biden administration has made it clear that they attempt to weaponize financial regulators to distort the market in this way and increase the cost of credit. It may be that there will be alternative sources of credit for some of these politically disfavored businesses, but it may very well increase the cost of credit, and that's not right.
No, that's true. It could definitely increase the cost of credit. Talk a little bit before we are done here. The horse industry. We've had people on the show. We had Chris McCarron last week, and a little bit about how you see the industry, especially given this bill that's the move towards creating a horse racing commissioner, and how you see all that going.
Yeah, well, thanks for asking. I take my responsibility as the representative of the horse capital of the world very seriously. I'm proud of that. I am the co-chairman of the Congressional Horse Caucus. It's a bipartisan caucus, and the legislation that we passed last year that you're referring to was a six to seven-year process of bipartisan work. A lot of what we talked about today, we talked about the division in Washington and how difficult it is to find consensus. This is one area where we were able to work across the aisle, find consensus to reform thoroughbred racing to really reinvigorate the safety and integrity of the sport and create a uniform national anti-doping authority and a uniform national rules on racetrack safety. Chris McCarron, you mentioned, great Hall of Fame jockey who was a valuable contributor to that effort, talking about the importance of the safety of the riders, safety of the human athletes in this beautiful sport, and a signature industry, not just a sport, but a source of jobs and economic activity, a multi-billion-dollar industry in Kentucky alone. And, the risk of having a state like California shut down thoroughbred racing would have a huge negative impact on Kentucky's economy. So we needed to act. We did act, and now we need to implement it. And I'm working with the new nominating committee to make sure that they stand this thing up and implement, and the new authority implements these uniform rules and does it in a way that restores confidence in the industry. There's other issues, though, that we need because there's so much competition for the entertainment dollar. In order to increase handle, to increase the fan base, to bring in a new generation of fans to thoroughbred racing. And, of course, millennials and younger Americans and younger sports fans, they like to have the convenience of using their smartphones or their iPads or their laptops to engage in watching sports and participating in sports. And we know with the advent of advanced deposit wagering platforms, that's a very convenient way for a young person or any person to participate in the game, to become a horse player, to have fun from their own living room, and watch races. And it's more interactive that way. So we want to make sure that we work with the financial services industry to make sure that there's no friction on that. We do have some problems with the acceptance of some institutions and some credit card companies accepting those transactions. That's one additional thing we're working on for the industry. The other thing that I think is just fantastic is the innovation in technology. And we're looking at some of these new startup companies. MyRacehorse.com is a great example of this, and there's others. Commonwealth is another one, where they're trying to sell, and they are selling micro shares of racehorses.
Right.
Very, very interesting concept, because it's another way for small dollar players, horse players, to get involved, not as betting on the race, but actually owning a small share of a syndicated racehorse. There are some impediments in the securities law, and we are working with the ownership, my constituents, of these companies to make horse racing more available and investing in a racehorse more available to a small dollar investor. That, I think, will bring in even more fans to the game. And I think the future is bright in thoroughbred racing if we're able to update some of the federal laws related to it.
Thanks, Andy.
We got to
wrap
it up here, Andy. Thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time, as always, and do keep us updated with what's going on in Washington. I know it's a fluid situation, and you're out up there battling for us, and we really do appreciate it. So with that
said,
stay tuned for the second half of the hour. We'll have our financial guys joining us. Stay tuned. This is powered by Dupree Financial Group, Tom Dupree with Andy Barr. We'll see you in just a few minutes.
The reopening of America
in phases
to ensure vaccines get into arms.
Pandemic rescue package.
The reopening of our schools.
To opening up our economy.
What you'll need to know through every phase. News Radio 630.
Actually see other people.
WLAP.
Hi, this is Tom Dupree. What actually makes a difference in life? Is it Bitcoin? Is it gold? Perhaps it's bonds, racehorses? No. Of any economic entity in which you can invest, the ones which actually make a difference are corporations. They are maligned, taxed, demonized, run by left-wing ideologues, but still, they must produce a profit. They cannot afford to invest in things the way that government does. Their investments must show a profit. Their investments must be productive. We believe our clients like to think their investments are being productive, both for society and for them. For a free review of your retirement investment portfolio, call Dupree Financial Group at 859-233-0400 and be sure to listen to the Tom Dupree Show Saturdays at 7 a.m. at News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Hey, are you looking to buy a new car? Are you stuck in a high-rate loan and looking to refinance? Well, UK Federal Credit Union can help. Right now, UK Federal Credit Union has auto loan rates as low as 2.99% APR. Apply for an auto loan online at ukfcu.org or in person at the dealership. Get your dream car today at UK Federal Credit Union. UK Federal Credit Union. It's banking only better. Annual percentage rate, member qualification supply, rated subject to credit approval and subject to change. For full disclosure, visit ukfcu.org, federally insured by NCUA.